today's guest, James Reams of James Reams and the Barnstormers. If you remember last year, James was a guest on this program. Well, the Barnstormers and James have a brand new album, Rhyme and Season. You will enjoy listening to James Reams' most enjoyable conversation. And the album is kind of an interesting approach to making music. We'll explain that a little bit. Please enjoy a nice visit with James Reams of James Reams and the Barnstormers. We're going to talk a little bit about the brand new album, Rhyme and Season. Talk about other things, too. You'll enjoy. I'm really happy to have James Reams of James Reams and the Barnstormers. James, you and I met last year at IBMA. We had a wonderful discussion then about some things you were into, and right now we want to talk about the album. I think this came out real close in time or right after we left each other last year. It's a new album, Rhyme and Season.
That's right. It came out, it's come out in 2016, and it's my ninth project. And I'd been on Bluegrass label before for a number of projects called Copper Creek Records. This is on my own label. And I'm very excited about it because it's sort of a record of who I am right now. It has two bands on it because for many years, Steve, I've played on the East Coast, and I played with a band, and I still play with that band, and so I felt compelled to bring them into the studio. But then now I'm on the West Coast, which is sort of wild, and I have a band there that I'm very proud of, and so we went into two different studios, we did the arrangements, and I'm very excited about the album because it's a concept.
Well, and you and I have talked a little bit leading up to this about the concept, but nobody else knows that. So let's take a minute to talk about James Reams and what your concept is here.
Right. Well, with the Rhyme and Season, I was looking over my life, and I realized that there were so many different parts of that journey. Parts of my journey was when I was a young man in my 20s, I was homeless for a short period of time. It was just a series of bad luck. I was trying to be a full-time musician. It was a wild dream that I had, and I just had a difficult time. And I realized that after I came out of that, because so many people are temporarily homeless, that there's lots of people who don't speak for them, and it's still a major issue in the United States. There's many homeless veterans. There's many homeless children. And so this album is sort of about that sort of thing, people that are nomads and can't find their way all the time. And part of the proceeds of it go to a thing called Circle of the City, which is a respite center, a hospital that allows homeless people to heal after they've gotten out of the hospital, because many times they're thrown back on the street and they're victimized because, you know, they have their hand in a cast and they become a victim. And it's part of our society that we don't look at, but if we don't discuss, and it possibly could be eliminated. I know we talked about all the issues of eliminating it, but it's possible that it could be eliminated when we bring it into a national discussion.
Not uncoincidentally, you and I were having dinner the other night, and we talked about some of these issues, which really wasn't because of this recording. You and I were just chatting about things that were relevant and timely in both of our situations, and now you're telling me that there's a greater connection to that thought of getting the word out, and now you're actually this Rhyme and Season actually contributes to something very near and dear to you.
Yeah, well, I know you also, Steve. We were talking because, you know, you've been part of the whole thing, too, about saving people who are thrown out on the street and for multiple reasons. And we don't even have to go into all of them, but sometimes it's just that they're off of their medication, or sometimes they've lost a job, or sometimes they've broken a leg. And so there's so many things that contribute to this. So, yes, this is really near and dear to my heart. I felt that it was important to contribute something and contribute the only way I could through my music.
Well, I've heard all of this album since we left last time, and I've used it in the show. But if you want to talk a little bit about some of the music on here, I'd be happy to let you. You've made your point about a wonderful purpose involved, but let's talk a little bit about some of the music and the people that are with you.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's an all-star cast, and a lot of them are young. Evan Ward is on banjo. He's one of the great banjo players. Yes. He played with Audie Blaylock for a number of years. I have Kenny Kosek on fiddle, who's just a world-renowned fiddler. And then I have my regular band, so it's actually my regular band that I get to tour and travel with and perform at festivals. And then I did it in two amazing studios. One studio was John Gordon, who I'd worked with on all of my last nine projects. John is in New York. He's a Grammy Award-winning engineer and producer. And then Clark Rigsby, who worked with Paul McCartney, and he was part of the West Coast scene, and he has a beautiful studio, and they both enjoy recording the way I record. And we talked about this the other day, too.
Yes.
Yeah, just the small ensemble in the room with the microphones. No overdubbing, no nothing. Just
you want to have that communication for the music's sake, and you're looking at, we talked about this, and it's important to be able to look over and see what somebody's doing, and you enjoy that, and you put that as part of your music.
That's part of the magic, I think, of being in the recording studio, and it's missed more and more. And we were talking about, you know, our love of jazz music and our love of blues music, and some of my favorite records of all time, everybody was in the studio looking eyeball
to
eyeball.
That's because that's the only way they could do it.
Yeah,
and nowadays we talked a little bit about the fact that, you know, you can send bits of music all over the internet, and those albums are fine.
Mm-hmm.
But as a musician, it must be much more fun to sit and look at someone, how they react to something you said or played, and then you can kind of feed off of. That's the real conversation, I think, in this stuff.
It's amazing, and there's a risk there. You're rolling the dice,
that's right.
You know, because you go in,
yeah,
and
but that's the fun of it. That's the edge of it,
man.
And that edge of that risk is what really makes it. That's the excitement.
Mm-hmm.
That's the excitement.
And what I'm proud of is that you want to capture magic. You want to capture real magic. And I don't mean to brag, but I'm going to tell you, I felt like I captured magic on this record. It's one of my favorite records that I've ever done. I've been so lucky with so many great records. But this is a special record to my heart, and particularly at this stage of my life when it's a different chapter, maybe a final chapter. I mean, I don't want to like be foreboding or anything like that, but it's just a special chapter in my life, and I'm so excited to be able to still be able to contribute to the bluegrass genre and be viable and create what I think is a little treasure of an album.
I think it's a treasure. How would people find it? You said this is self-released? Or
Amazon.com. You can actually get it at any of the major music places that you go and buy your fine music, Pandora or Spotify, streaming, and Amazon. But Amazon, I guess, or my website. And
let's tell them your website.
Yeah, my website is jamesreams.com. And I want to thank you for your friendship and thank you for the chance.
Absolutely.
I love radio. You know,
I'm thrilled to run into you again. Well, as I told you, it's funny, what people won't know is that James and I were both here Sunday in Raleigh, and I thought I had the wrong day because there was a beautiful musical festival going on, but it wasn't bluegrass. So I look across the top and I see James the same time he sees me. We realize we both made the same mistake or we're in the right city at the right week, because I was a bit confused at that point.
And we've just had a great time here, and, you know, reunited with so many great people. And it was interesting to see that the Rounder Records, which, I mean, obviously contributed so much to the history of our music, recognized, and everyone else recognized. It's an amazing event. And part of the amazing event is that friends get to rejoin, and then all of a sudden, look at this, we even get to talk on the radio, which is, you know,
right.
So wow.
James, I appreciate you, man. I really do.
Well, thanks,
Steve. Enjoy your friendship.
Yep.
Just up front, I think James and I have become friends over a short period of time.
Absolutely.
Should not influence the decision to air this at all.
No.
But I think it just helps us give a greater familiarity. I know where you're coming from now, and you've expressed it so well with what you're doing with this.
Well, thanks. And if you don't air it, I would feel bad. It's a great record, and your audience might miss something.
Well, I agree with you. All right, very good.
All right, Steve. Be well, brother.